Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read two short verses, and then possibly pitch a fit, but we'll pray first. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here. Lord, we ask in a special way that you be with those that are not feeling well today that are here. Lord, put a hedge of protection about us all. Ask you to be with those that are not here, that are not feeling well, and this kind of bug, crud, whatever that's going around. Lord, just ask you to be with those families. Ask in a special way that you would be with us here as we hear your word, and Lord, that we would take it in and that we would consider it and study it and discern it, and Lord, then use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they've never trusted you, Lord, in a personal way, just ask that you would work in their heart as well this morning, and that they would leave here, Lord, saved and changed, a new creature. Lord, we ask that you hide me behind that cross, bring back to mind the things that I've studied, and Lord, ask you to Lord, help us to take in what you have for us this morning. Hide me behind that cross. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I read about an English guy. He was at a revival, an old country revival. They had an old country church and they had a big revival and he came to it. And in this revival, someone heard him pray. And his prayer was, "Lord, there's two kinds of Christians. There's duck-footed Christians and hen-footed Christians. Lord, make me a hen-footed Christian." Now, the petition seems kind of odd. And actually, it's even kind of funny that a person would pray that. Yet, it was offered really seriously. So, in the write-up, it said he had noticed the uneven gait of a duck as it tried to walk. You ever watch ducks? Ducks got the old web foot, and they just kind of waddle along everywhere they go. And even if they get in a hurry, they waddle along everywhere they go. That's just ducks. That's the way they were made. And they fly from little pond to little pond. They're never loyalty. They're just kind of wishy-washy. They just go along with the flow, and as the wind blows, that's just sort of what they do. They just cruise around. Now, chickens, on the other hand, how many of you have ever dealt with chicken other than on your plate? Chickens are kind of awesome little birds, really. People look at them as stupid, but actually a chicken's a very smart little bird. They're very mindful of situations. Chickens stay close to the barnyard. They don't get away from the barnyard too far. Excuse me. They don't get away from the barnyard very far. But they feed on what's been provided for them. They're caring for their young all the time. You see a little hen out there that's got some little chicks, you don't want to mess with her. She will eat your lunch. She don't care how big you are. It does not matter. She will come after you. I've seen little setting hens get on big dogs. They'll go for them. They're just not any concern to them. They're going to protect them. And they're constantly teaching them of the dangers that are lurking out there. You'll see
you go up to chickens and you can hear them. They're out there and they're just, and they're pecking away. But you let a hawk come flying by and it changes. All of a sudden, they'll start looking. They turn their little heads up there, you know, and they'll start looking, and the little chicks run over there, and they start working their way back to safety. Even their clucking starts changing. It gets this, you know, they start sounding different, and it's they're talking to each other. But when they move, believe it or not, chickens are very graceful movers. They cruise, man. They got them little feet just getting after it, and they can cover some ground. And they don't waddle. They're not flopping all over the place. They don't look ridiculous trying to get somewhere. You know, the duck they have on there is called a Muscovy duck. And Muscovy's has got this movement. Their necks go... And they, I don't know how they do it. They're terrible looking. It looks like they wear you out trying to get from point A to point B. But, they, you know, chickens don't have this issue. Man, they'll pop up. Pew! They head out and they're sure-footed about where they're going. They're very graceful when they move. You know, they're not getting the waddling or the up and down as they're cruising along. When I was in the military, they kind of nicknamed me a duck for a while. Because I guess marching in the platoon, I was the one going. And they finally taught me that when you march, you don't move. You know, it's just this lower half is moving. And I'm like, well, I'm just walking like I've always walked. I don't want to tell you. But so ducks and chickens are different. Now, we have to admit, if you think about what I'm going to say, you've got to admit that the world is full of wobbling Christians. There's way too many these days. It's very prevalent in our days that Christians are waddling. You see, like a duck, people are always waddling to whatever the world offers. Ducks, they're out there and they're cruising around and they'll go off over here. And they'll go off over there. And then they'll fly to the next pond. It's the same water. It all looks the same. It all comes from the same stream or the sky and fills it up. It's probably coming from the same underground spring. The pond at this place and the pond at this place. But there's a lot of people out there that are that away. They're always waddling to what the world offers. Here and there. And they're never really aware of the dangers that are going around. You know, I believe that's my water from last week, from Wednesday. If it ain't, I'll always thought it should have been. Oh, that didn't taste like water. No, I'm kidding. Now, ducks, chickens teach about the lurking dangers that are out there. They let their little chicks know that, hey, this shadow above is not a good thing. You'll become somebody's buffet. And they hide them and they'll tuck them under their wings and they'll get them away from everything. But and if you'll notice in a barnyard, and if you've never been around, go watch some chickens. Look it up on YouTube. I'm sure you can. All the little chicks are right there wherever mama's at. Wherever mama's going, the little chicks stick. Now, ducks are different. Ducks head off down to the pond, and there's a head duck, and then there's all these little bee ducks all behind. And they just all, poosh, out in the water they go. And they waddled everywhere they went. You see, they're introducing their young to all that the world has to offer. Now, they're animals. Are foul, they're supposed to be doing all of this. They're not supposed to be thinking as we think. But nonetheless, when we look at them, we can say, wait a minute. I can learn from that. There's some people in the Bible that should have
maybe watch some chickens and ducks. They might have learned something. I can think of one right off. Abraham did his nephew a terrible favor. He introduced his nephew to the world. So his nephew chose what he recognized as the world. When you read the account over there in Genesis, it says he looked at the plains of Jordan and said, oh, looks like Egypt. Now, why did he end up in Egypt? Because Abraham had hauled him down there and where he shouldn't have been going to Egypt. But and a lot of times we do that. We introduce our children to things that's going to come back to bite us. Why are so many believers wobbling? What do you think? You don't have to answer me, but think on that for a minute. Why are so many believers out there wobbling? Why do they wobble everywhere they go? You got to ask yourself. Oh, thank you. You got to ask yourself, why do they wobble everywhere they go? How come things are going on in their lives that ought not to be? Why are these things taking place? So we're going to speak on three reasons and then we'll be done. Now, this is just touching the surface, but there are three very important things. Number one is doubt. Number two is ignorance. And number three is neglect. So you got three things that'll cause wobbling in a Christian's life. Doubt, ignorance, and neglect. So let's look at the first one. Doubt. Think about what doubt does to a person. Oh, I doubt this is going to... You ever been around that person who just doubts everything? What do you call that? Pessimist? Yeah. Wow. You know, I got up this morning and I got one text. I'm not coming to get the sniffles. Then I got another text. Oh, I'm not coming to get the sniffles. Well, I got the sniffles too. But anyway, I told Sandy, I said, I'm going to just get up one Sunday and go fishing. I ain't going to tell a soul. And I'm hoping Larry will be here. Somebody will take over and preach. But, you know, and it's like, all of a sudden, the old devil started, and I said, you know, you got that little voice in there, well, I doubt anybody even going to show up. Well, no. Hey, you guys are here. Amen. Quiet, but you're here. You see, doubt in respecting our standing in Christ will lead to wobbling. If we've got doubt about our standing in Jesus Christ, is going to lead to wobbling. It'll lead to wishy-washy. It'll lead to being up and down experiences. You know, one minute you're on the mountaintop, next minute you're in the valley. Listen, a true Christian spends most of their time in the valley, to be honest with you. That's where they're at because that's where they look up to the Lord more. You see, it's our privilege to know some things. It's our privilege to know that, hey, we're saved. We don't have to go through a maybe that we're saved. We can know that we are saved. Amen. Not a doubt in my mind. I can know it because the Bible tells me so. It's a fact. It's not because of what I feel. Because I've got up a few times in the mornings and I don't feel saved. I went to bed a few times at night thinking, don't depend on your feelings. It's facts that are stated in the Word of God. Amen. It's our privilege that we to know that we are forgiven. My sins are forgiven, and the devil might say, yeah, but you used to do this, and oh, you used to do that. Guess what? It says in the Bible that God forgets that as far as the east is from the west. Now, let me ask you a question. You ever traveled east to go anywhere? If you continue traveling east, which way are you going to end up going? East. You can never go west. Well, if I travel east long enough, I'll be in California. That's in the west. Yeah, but you're still traveling east. Because you're going to end up right back in New York City, bless your heart. But that'd be a horrible place to go. But anyway, you see, all of that is gone. The Lord gives us that privilege that we don't have to doubt. Is that forgiven? Yes, forgiven. The Lord paid for it on the cross of Calvary. I ask forgiveness. It's gone. We have that privilege. We have the privilege to know that we're justified. We are justified in the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are justified, which means just as if I'd never sinned. In God's eyes, all of a sudden, I'm righteous. Before I got saved, before I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I was an enemy to God. But since I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, now it's just as if I never sinned. I am justified before an almighty God that spoke the world into existence. I don't think He can say, and I'm gone. Yeah, He holds my very breath in my hand. In His hand. All He's got to do is just say, I'm done. Boom, you go home. Well, old Joe, he was driving like a fool. That's why he died. No, it was his time to go. Sometimes I think we can rush things. Who in it? You ever jumped out of an airplane? Yeah, we got some smart people in here. Now, you don't jump out of a perfectly good airplane. That's pushing your luck. It really is. I bailed out of a few helicopters. That wasn't real smart, but and it, you know, they tell you, oh, just hit the ground running. That don't always work. You know, there's 15 feet between you and the ground when you come out of there, and you're moving at about 40 miles an hour. Listen, I can't run that fast. I tried it. But when you hit the ground, you're running, and you're doing your, but things catch up.
You know, anyway.
We have a privilege to know and ought to be happy that one of these days we're going to be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
One day, Brother Larry mentioned it in Sunday school. One day I'm not going to get up in the morning wondering, did she hit me with a bat last night? Some reason I got things that, listen, I got stuff that hurt on me that I didn't even know I had. You know, I wake up and parts are aching and I'm like, where'd that part come from? I didn't know I had that part. We're kind of like a vehicle. You park a vehicle out here, everything perfect working order. In a week, you crank it up, the starter won't work. You know, and you're like, how come it broke? You know, I get up in the morning, and everything broke on me that were working great 12 hours ago or 8 hours ago. Everything was good. Listen, one day we ain't going to have to worry about that.
Amen.
All of that's going to be changed. We have a privilege to know these things. You see, John, the book of 1 John, and I'm not going to go there for sake of time, but the book of 1 John, chapters 1 through 5, you ought to do yourself a favor and read those chapters. They're very important for us, and they give us the, we can know that we're saved, we know that we're forgiven, we know that we're justified, and we know that we're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will have a body such as He has, which, I don't know, some people will tell you this, Larry said it this morning, and I've said it before, we're not, and Paul said, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be like, but I'm going to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But in a way, that don't make sense why He said that. Because Jesus showed back up. He rose from the grave. And He was glorified. Because He had told them, He said, don't touch me. I ain't been to my Father yet. After that, though, they hugged Him. He just walked through the door. He didn't open it and come in. He just all of a sudden he was in the midst of them, and they're all like, whoa. He said, it's okay. He said, you got anything to eat? And then he sat down. He's like, wait a minute. He just walked through the door, but he sat down. And then he ate fish. Fish and chips.
You know, I'd say, well, it was fish and bread, right? Well, close enough, fish and chip. They might have had a tater or two, I don't know. And that's what he had. But yet he can walk, and then all of a sudden he was gone again. He says, we're going to have a body like him. Do you know how cool that's going to be? That is going to be awesome to be able to just walk. Yep. You ever watch that show, Beam Me Up, Scotty? What was the name of that? Star Trek. You ever watch that? Beam Me Up, Scotty! I always watch them. You go away and then you come back together, your atoms. You know they're working on that? We got some stupid people in the world. But anyway, they spend billions a year trying to figure out how to do that. It's called Hollywood. They could pay me and I'd give them an answer. But, it's called getting saved because one day I'm going to have a body just like that when my atoms will separate and walk through the wall and come back together. I'm going to be like Jesus. That's going to be pretty awesome. One of these days that's going to be. Now, first one was doubt. Don't be doubting. If you're doubting, it's going to cause problems. Don't doubt that you're a child of God. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you, and you ask him to save you, to come into your heart, do not doubt. Well, I might not have said the right words. It ain't about the words. Well, I wasn't in church. It ain't about being in church. It's about, do I believe what Jesus did for me, and did I ask him to save me? Because the Bible says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to call on him. That I'll agree with you. You need to call on Jesus.
Amen.
Well, God saved me. No, he didn't. You called on God to get saved, you didn't get saved. Because according to the Bible, it must be Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus is God. That's true. God and I and my Father are one. That's what he says. But we got to go by what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It's Jesus. God ain't the comforter. Well, yeah, he is. Well, yeah, he is. Three. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But he separated out. In the Bible, it's separated out. Who's our comforter? The Holy Ghost. Who died for my sins on the cross? Jesus Christ. Who sent his Son to die? God. Who does it say I have to call on in order to be saved? Jesus. Because God forcing, you know God's smart. He was sitting there way before the foundations of the earth. And he looked into 2020 is actually the first time I ever saw it. And he saw that dingbat they call the Pope. He is a liar and a deceiver. He saw him sitting in there and they did a commercial. And I watched it. God watched the same one. But he saw it a lot longer. Way before I did. And he's got the Muslims there. Oh, they worship Allah. It's God. And then they got the Hindu. Oh, they worship Hindu. It's God. And then they got Buddha, little fat dude. And, oh, it's God. And then they got Mary holding the baby Jesus. Oh, it's God. We all worship the same God. Bunch of lying.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'll leave it there. They're lying to you. You are being deceived. There's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
That's through Jesus.
Amen.
My Almighty God ain't Buddha. He ain't Hare Krishna. He ain't old Muhammad or Arkaloshar or whatever his name is. And listen, and he ain't dead. He's alive.
Amen.
Why would you listen to Buddha anyway? You know, you got to have self-control. He weighed 700 pounds. What's he know about self-control?
Nothing. Don't doubt when you've called on the Lord Jesus to save you. He says in his word, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Not whosoever said all the right words, and if you now if you bent down on your left knee, that's wrong. You got to do the right knee. No, it's about asking Jesus to save you. It's about believing in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ.
Number two, ignorance. Ignorance. People don't like to think of themselves as ignorant. You know, doubt will cause wobbling because, well, how can I convince people of what I don't even believe? You know, or what I'm doubting. So you gotta get doubt out of the way. The Word of God helps you with that. Ignorance. Ignorance of our glorious privileges in Christ of victory and fellowship. If we have ignorance in our privileges in Christ, in the fact that Christ was victorious over death and hell and our fellowship, that's going to lead us to wobbling. You see, we can be saved from sin's power as well as sin's guilt. All of that's taken care of. Don't be ignorant of that. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. In other words, draw near with your heart that, guess what? The Lord saved you. The Lord forgave you. The Lord was victorious over death. The Lord victorious over sin. And you can be too.
Amen.
Because He gave us the power to do so. He says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Don't let your conscience get evil. If we'll read and study the Word of God and remember that we're justified before God, we can do away with all of that. He says, our bodies washed with pure water. That ain't got nothing to do with baptism. It's the water of the Word. When we study the Word of God, it cleanses us. And we don't have to be ignorant. Listen, if we'll study the Word of God, we don't have to be ignorant. And we can walk daily overcoming all of these problems. Yeah, but I get up and I sin every day. Who in here doesn't sin? If you do, if you tell me, I don't, well, you just sin because you're lying. We're all sinners. We're saved sinners. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I do something that was stupid and I knew better, well, hey, if you're serious about it, ask forgiveness and He says He'll forgive you. Now don't turn around and do it again tomorrow and the next day, well, I just ask forgiveness, so I'll just keep doing it. It don't work that way. It's humbleness. When I mess up and trust me, I mess up. When I do, I ask forgiveness. And I didn't plan on doing it again tomorrow, but sometimes things happen and boom, I mess up. And I ask forgiveness of my sins. And guess what? The Lord said He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we can live a daily fellowship with Christ. Don't be ignorant of that fact. And you're not going to lose your sin, your salvation. Don't be ignorant of that. Study the Word of God so you will not be ignorant. Listen, the Bible says that we're placed in the hand of Jesus and we're placed in the hand of God. Who can pluck you from God's hand? Nobody. Not even yourself. You get saved, you trust the Lord Jesus, and later on you might say, you know, you might be having issues or whatever it may be. Oh, I don't want to be saved. You can't do that. You might say it, but you can't make yourself unsaved. No more than I can say, you know what, my mom and dad tore me off. They're not my parents no more. Bless the heart. They're my parents. It don't matter whether I go to the court of law and get divorced. They're still my parents. I can't undo that. I have their DNA flowing in my body. I have no choice. There's some things in my mom's life that I'm starting to have in my life. Bless her heart, she passed it down to me. Bad knees. I think I'm starting to get little tidbits of peripheral neuropathy. I'm not positive, but I think so. And I'm thinking, thanks, Mom. Ain't that nothing to do? I'm from her. There's nothing I can do to change that. Same way, when we accept the Lord as our Savior, don't be ignorant of that, thinking, well, I sinned, I'm not saved now. No. You sinned and you're not in fellowship. You can't get rid of sonship. You can get rid of fellowship, but you cannot get rid of the fact that you are a child of God. You will always be a child of God once you have trusted the Lord Jesus. Third thing. So we got doubt.
Doubt will make you wobble. Well, I just don't know. And it makes you go up and down. One minute you're... Next minute you're up. Doubt will make you do that. Ignorance. Ignorance will make you do that. Ignorance will make you wobble. You're not sure. And well, I don't know. Well, maybe I... Well, it'll do that. Make you wishy-washy.
Neglect. You know, too many of us neglect things. You ever get up early in the morning? You in a rush? Well, no, let me go back. You're supposed to get up early in the morning. You decided, oh, I'll sleep a little later. You know, you might not have really realized you decided that. Kind of like me this morning. I had my alarm set at 6. This past week, I've gotten kind of lazy. I'm usually out of bed 5, 6 a.m. every morning. That's just automatic. This week, I sort of got a little slack. You know, she's been sick and lacking back. I went to bed one night at 9 o'clock. And still slept till 7. If I'd have went 2 more hours, I'd went into a coma. You know, it's like, because my body ain't used to that. But this morning, the alarm went off at 6, and I went, you know. Then I got to 6:05, and I turned it off. Well, at 7, I thought, oh, I should get up. You know, it's Sunday. I've got to get a shower, need to do a little bit of shaving. I didn't shave all of it, just part of it. And got to wash the hair. Didn't have to shave my legs, but I knew I'd get a laugh out of that one. So I got all of that done, cooked some bacon and had some eggs and a half a piece of toast. That's all I didn't have, half a piece of toast. And then everything was moving pretty good. But you see, I got kind of slack with some things. You know, we do that every now and then. We start neglecting a little bit because we get in a hurry. We get in a rush. We neglect our daily devotional Bible reading. That will lead you to wobbling. Amen. I didn't worry too much about it. I did neglect it this morning. I'm like, you know what? I got up and I went in there and I studied my message, so I really didn't neglect it. I was looking over the message again. But see, we'll do that Monday through Saturday because we'll get in a bind and we got to hurry and we got to get somewhere. We don't need to be neglecting our daily devotional Bible reading and our morning prayers. We don't need to do that. It leads to wobbling, you know, unfaithfulness. It'll lead to unfaithfulness in more ways than just one. It'll catch up with you. It'll add up. All it takes is a little bit of drop in the bucket. And it doesn't take long. The bucket starts filling up. You see, Hebrews 10:23. Oh, everybody knew I was going to go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. And in parentheses, for he is faithful that promised. Isn't Jesus faithful to us?
Amen.
We ought to be faithful to him. And he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Listen, if I'm not doing my daily devotion, how am I going to provoke her or any of you if I see you during the week? How can I provoke you to love and to good works? I can't because I'm not doing it myself. It's going to be a waste of time. That's the only way I can do that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I didn't say that. The Word of God did. As the manner of some. Oh, but exhorting one another.
You see, there's people not here today. Now, I'm just going to be mean about it. There could be some people here today. But they, I better not go to church. But they yet they'll go to the store. They'll go to Walmart. Well, yeah, but I don't want to get my brothers and sisters in Christ sick. Oh, so you get an unsaved person sick, they might die. You ever thought of that? At least here, hopefully, we're saved. We get sick and die. It's like, oh, I miss you. But she really didn't live there anyway, or he didn't. There it happened now.
But nonetheless, people do that. They look for reason. But do you know when they're not here, how does it make you feel? It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? That's the whole idea of provoking each other. Listen, Roger sounds terrible. I'm not going to run up and kiss him. I don't want whatever he's got. It may be allergies. He might have COVID. He might have the flu. I don't want it. I ain't going to run up and hug him. And if I shake his hand, I'm not going to lick my fingers off. I may wash them first. You know, it's called common sense. Don't say, well, we need a mask on. Why? They don't work.
That's right.
What's the point? In other words, when we're missing people, we're not adding joy to their life. They're not adding joy to our life. It's kind of disappointing. And I know sometimes you get up, you're really sick, and you're just like, listen, since I have lived here, I've only missed church for a sickness, I think, twice. It's because I had fever and I was talking out of my head. Because if 106 gets pretty high, when I get fever, mine goes, I don't just get 101, man. I go on, it's like, ain't no need to mess around with it. You know, 104 to 106 is the norm for me. And I'll text people weird things. My son will say, Dad. He called my wife and said, you might better go check on Dad. You know, I get it. But we ought to make sure that we're with each other, because it says, but exhorting one another, oh, and catch this, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. What day? The day when the Lord Jesus is going to say, come on in there, and we're out of here. We ain't got to worry about it no more. That's what we're here for. You see, actually, our daily devotions produce something that's very important called fruit. Go over to Galatians if you want to, or just write down Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the verse 22, I believe it is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, whenever we're in our daily devotion, it helps us produce the proper fruit, because it gives us the proper nourishment that our spirit needs that day. You know, because you ever got up, some people just ain't a morning person. I love morning. You know, I get out of bed and I'm like, made it through the night. And I just like mornings. I like to see this morning sky and drink the coffee. Now, my wife, she likes to see the after morning sky. She would rather sleep till 8 or 9 o'clock. Me, I want to get up before the sun comes up. I want to see if it's going to actually come up. I'm checking. You know? Oh, there it is. It did. Proof that God is got it all under control. The sun came up again. I like that. I like seeing the morning sky. It just does something for me. But there's sometimes you get out of bed in the morning and you're like, and you walk down through there and you go down the hall, and if somebody saw you coming, it would be like, ooh, I don't want to say nothing to that one. You know? My youngest daughter, I'm pick on her. You used to see her coming down the hall, and I'm like, oh, her. I mean, there she comes. She was mean. You know, some people just don't want to. Listen, it will help you
to get rid of that. When you start reading the Word of God, you can't be upset. You've got to, it has to start working in your life to start giving you a better feeling about why you exist.
Why you should be happy that you got up. See, verse 25 of Galatians 5 said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're saved, we're saved by the Lord Jesus. Our spirit has been quickened. We should do our best to walk that way. And the way we do that is the same way you got saved. How'd you get saved? By the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk in the Spirit by faith in the Lord. And if I'm reading the Word of God, it's strengthening me. If I'm studying a devotional in the morning, just strengthening me, and it gives me the love, joy, and peace, because sometimes I don't feel love, joy, and peace at 5 a.m. You know, I ain't had my coffee yet. Going there and can't find my scoop. She ain't got a clue where it went. So I just, that looked good. But if we read our, if we read the Word of God, listen, it does something for you. Give the Word of God its proper place in your daily lives, and honestly, it will keep you from wobbling.